This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. And Joe Biden still is not there. The press conference that is his last-ditch effort to save his presidency. He is officially 35 minutes late for the press conference that was supposed to save him. So that's how that's going. We're going to move on and just do a show. And I'm so excited for the conference because I just think it's going to be so bad. And this is going to be it. That's why we're going to carry it live. And I think this is going to be the last of Joe Biden. Look, I do want to say this before we get into the army things. We're going to move on and talk about this, the system and this slide against pro-lifers and things like that. Look, you want to have energy, don't you? You don't want to show up 35 minutes late to a press conference. Have you started your male vitality stack from Chalk yet? You understand that low T people, they show up 35 minutes late to press conferences. And when they finally do them, they're called big boy press
conference. Big boy press conference. Big boy press conference. A big boy press conference. Hold a press conference. A big boy press conference. A
press conference.
Do you want people referring to you as a big boy? No, you don't. You don't want that. No one wants that. Well, without testosterone, that's what they're going to do. In fact, they're probably already calling you that behind your back. Go get a male vitality stack from Chalk. Or a female vitality stack, ladies. They have one designed for you. Natural herbal supplements. CHOQ.com. Guaranteed to make sure you are on time to the press conference that's going to save your career. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse, or call them, text them, I don't care, 50-CHALK-3000, all right? All right, so before we get into the actual Army slide of what they did, and I already told you what it was, there was a slide, there was a class, essentially. You're always in classes whenever you're in. There was a class about terrorist groups, and one of the slides of the terrorist groups, this took place at Fort Bragg, which they call Fort Liberty now. At Fort Bragg, one of the slides was National Right to Life, the oldest and by far, I believe, the largest anti-abortion organization in the country. I love National Right to Life. In fact, I've been in their building more than once, and they were just listed as a terrorist organization in an Army briefing. Now, right now, the Army tried to backtrack. In fact, they backtracked as hard as they possibly could. There's an article out in Breitbart. Army briefing slide calling pro-life groups terrorists was, quote, not vetted. After conducting a commander's inquiry, we determined that these slides were not vetted by the appropriate approval authorities and do not reflect the views of the Airborne Corps and Fort Liberty, the U.S. Army, or the Department of Defense. Of course, so they're backtracking because they got caught. But do I need to remind you? Do I need to remind you about that little memo from the FBI field office? Remember that? In Richmond, Virginia. We had a whistleblower come forward. He came forward with a document, a memo. And this memo laid out the FBI's intention to infiltrate the Catholic Church to go after those dirty domestic terrorists who believe marriage is between a man and a woman, things like that. Of course, once the whistleblower came forward, Merrick Garland got up in front of Congress and talked about how horrific that was, and it doesn't reflect the views of us, and Christopher Wray backtracked on the whole thing. That is a terrible thing. That's not what we're doing. But of course, that's exactly what they're doing. And you know exactly why they're doing it. Threat to democracy, threat to democracy, threat to democracy, over and over and over again. That's what they call you. Repeatedly, threat to democracy, a threat to the foundations of democracy, threat to democracy. Why are they doing that? Why have they done to the January 6th political prisoners the things they've done? Why was the federal government involved in some way in January 6th, whether they were just there encouraging it or whether they planned the whole thing or anything. I don't know. We'll never know the truth. But why would they do something like that? Why? The goal has always been for the American communist to turn you not into a political opponent, not into the opposition party, to turn you into an enemy of the state. The goal is to make their political opposition out to be enemies of the state. And why do they want to do that? They want to do that so they can take all those guns the federal government has at its disposal and aim them at you. They want to turn you into a national security risk to justify smashing their political opposition. And if you think that's crazy, I would kindly ask you to open up a history book for me even one time. That's how communists have run their government. Every single time they have taken over a government, they have used the law enforcement apparatus and the military against their domestic political enemies. And every time they have done that, they have done it under the justification that their political enemies were dangerous saboteurs who were enemies of the state. And Democrats are communists. Democrats are communists. Democrats are communists. Until you understand and accept that, you will never get it. I saw this slide. I actually saw it last night. I wasn't surprised in the least. What have I been telling you that they're doing to the military? A common talking point on the right, a very, very common talking point, with all the gay this and gay that and white people suck and our female-only pilots and all the talk on the right. What's the talking point been? They're destroying the military. They're destroying the military. These people are destroying the military. And what have I told you? They're not destroying the military. They're creating a new military. A military designed for a different enemy. You. You see, if you want the FBI to go after your political opponents, remember, we just had a whistleblower come forward in Texas whistleblowing that Texas Children's Hospital was still doing tranny surgeries on kids, and the FBI knocked at her door. They're trying to throw her in prison, and the doctor too, trying to throw these people in prison. If you want an FBI who will do that, well, then you have to remake the FBI. You have to run out the Steve Friends of the world. You have to run out the good guys. And who are you going to replace them with? Well, I already told you the FBI is recruiting at Pride events across the country. You can go look up the boost to this day. Why would you recruit at a Pride event? Well, who's going to be willing to infiltrate that local church and throw handcuffs on those deranged pastors who talk about marriage? Well, someone you just recruited at a Pride event will do that. And when it comes to the military, they just had a big gay cake cutting ceremony on a ship, and they didn't do it in private. They did it on video. Go look it up if you'd like. A big old rainbow cake. Woo-hoo-hoo.
Why are you gay?
Not that the Navy could get any gayer than it already is, but they did it on a boat. We have a U.S. naval vessel called the USNS Harvey Milk, the gay activist. White rural recruits from the South, well, from really all rural areas, they're not joining the military. Why do you think they're doing all this? Do you think this administration, do you think the communists who run the country, do you think they're unhappy? You think they look at these recruiting numbers and retention numbers? You think they're unhappy? I'm here to tell you they're thrilled. It's part of the reason they did the vaccine mandate. It's a way to guarantee you're getting your pesky political opponents out of the way. Move them out of the way. Let's get them out of the way and replace them with people who will be more willing to do what is necessary. No, it wasn't an accident. The United States Army just put up a slide calling pro-lifers terrorists. It wasn't an accident at all. It's the military they've been building for quite some time. A military that will follow orders and go after those dangers to democracy, of course. That's what they're doing. I kid you not, Joe Biden's still not speaking. Maybe he'll be speaking by the time we get back. I can't confirm or deny. As a journalist, I can't confirm or deny. Anyway, we'll play it for you when he gets here. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. And Chris, everyone knows why you played that song. That's not right. Everyone, for you people listening on the podcast, we just came back to the song called Brain Damage by Pink Floyd. Chris, that's a little too on the nose right now. Don't you think? Don't you think that's disrespectful, Chris? Tomorrow's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Email your questions in right now. Don't wait until tomorrow. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Ask me anything, and I have an update on the press conference that still hasn't happened yet.
It's Journalist Jesse.
There's just no one better.
We love Jesse. He's the best.
Jesse, please kiss my baby.
Jesse, 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 Jesse.
They are now saying that it's going to be another 10 minutes before Joe Biden gets out there. My phone, the battery has to be about dead on my phone because every person I know, from my wife, friends, everybody, is blowing up my phone. What's happening? Where is it? Where is this guy? And look, all I can tell you is my theory. And remember, these are all really, really terrible people, so don't feel bad for them. At the same time, this is the pickle they're in. Joe Biden can't talk anymore. He can't do it. He can't talk anymore. He can't do this anymore. He does worse the later it gets. And he runs out of gas really, really fast. Again, if you have any experience with people who have what we think Joe Biden has, you just don't have a bunch of energy. You should be resting. That's why Joe Biden should be somewhere getting round-the-clock care in a restful, peaceful environment. Instead, he just had to leave a big summit with NATO. And how it works when you're president of the United States of America, you don't just get to get up and talk for 2 minutes and then step aside and then you go back to your room with your Werther's Originals and Matlock reruns. That's not how it works. You have to stay there in glad hand. You have to talk to people. They're going to have questions for you. Hey, Joe, what about this? Can we get this done? So Joe Biden just had to work a room. Have you ever worked a room? I've had to work a room before. You remember I ran for Congress twice. I ran for Congress twice. I lost twice. But I've had to work rooms many, many, many times. You walk in a room full of people, and you got to walk up to every single person. Hey, I'm Jesse. Great to see you, Bob. Jill, how you been? You got to shake their hand. You have to conversate with them. You have to act interested in whatever they're saying, even if whatever they're saying is really, really freaking stupid. That happens a lot to you when you're running for office, by the way. But what you don't know if you've never had to do that, and most people have had to do that on some level, what you don't know is how exhausting that can be. And I'm not comparing it to construction exhaustion or Marine Corps exhaustion. I've been exhausted in those ways where you can't, your hands don't work at the end of the day. Your shoulders are shot. You're just freaking tired. It's terrible. It's not that way, but just, you're just drained when you're done with that. And that was me as a 27-year-old, reasonably fit, former United States Marine. At the end of those days where I'd have to do this event, that event, 2-3 events, and man, I'm gassed. Give me a cup of coffee. I can't do it. As a young man, Joe Biden just had to finish working a room at NATO with the most powerful people on the planet. Promises were made. Agreements were come to. And now he has to give a press conference in front of a very, very hostile media. The media is going to try to take him out. And he's already exhausted, and he's 9,000 years old with dementia and no energy left. So what do you do? I'm sure they're drugging him up with every cocktail they can possibly put in him right now. But even that can only do so much if he's completely out of gas. I bet you Team Biden behind closed doors is in an all-out panic right now. I bet they're looking at this old man sitting there in the chair trying to pull his thoughts together. And I bet you money, Joe Biden has staffers who are updating their resumes on their phone as they look down at him. He's not going to do it. What, Chris? Chris said, do you think a power nap would fix it? It's actually a reasonable question. My wife actually said the same thing. I bet you he's taking a nap. And look, I don't ever want to pretend as if I'm the expert on Alzheimer's or dementia or things like that. Those terrible diseases have touched everyone in some way. I will say I've never seen a power nap fix it. Granted, rest is better than being tired. You have no chance to function at all if you're tired when you're in that way. And so maybe it'll help a little. But we're not talking about you or me. We're talking about an old man with cognitive decline. His brain is going. It's really, really bad. They say he's coming out soon. They say it's going to be 5 minutes. I don't freaking know.
Ay, 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 ay. I am the Frito Bandito. I like Fritos corn chips. I love them, I do. I want Fritos corn chips. I'll get them from you.
I'm just kidding. I'm not going to play that whole song right now. All right. So they just went up to the microphone. They tested the microphone. I assume that means he's coming soon, but we don't know. This gets more and more interesting as the show goes on. This is one of the funnest shows I've ever done. Anyway, we got to go to break. We're going to come back, and then hopefully at some point in time he gets going here. All right. Oh, Chris. Oh, nice. Chris told me we have a little bit more time to see if he holds out. So let's get to some emails. Dear world famous Jesse. Mike Johnson is currently on air with Clay and Buck addressing his perspective on the issue of whether Joe Biden should step aside. Do you think the speaker would ever come on your show, or is he afraid of what the line of questioning might be? As in, why have you sold out conservatives on each and every occasion that has presented itself during your tenure thus far? Look, he would come on my show, maybe. He's very, very aware of how I feel about him. He's very, very aware of what's going on. Okay, Chris tells me Joe Biden is walking out. No, I would not have Mike Johnson on my show. Everyone has a different philosophy when it comes to this stuff, but I don't have people on my show who I absolutely despise. What's that, Chris? We're going live? Okay, we are going live now to the Biden press conference.
The 75th year, the most important military defense alliance in the world, history of the world. We should never forget that NATO grew out of the wreckage of World War II. Most destructive war in history. The idea was to create an alliance of free and democratic nations that would commit themselves to a compact of collective defense. Standing together, they knew we'd all be safer. An attack on one would be treated as an attack on all. And it's worked because a would-be aggressor knows if they attack one of us, they'll be attacked by all of us. Sending that message is the best way to deter aggression and prevent wars in the first place. For those who thought NATO's time had passed, they got a rude awakening when Putin invaded Ukraine. Some of the oldest and deepest fears in Europe roared back to life because once again, a murderous madman was on the march. But this time, no one cowered.
Okay, this is the speech portion. We have to go to a break. It's a hard break. Clearly, we're going to be back. I hope we'll be back in time for the questions to begin. That's when the fireworks will start. So we're going to break. Come back. Press conference will still be live. All right? Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and Joe Biden is still speaking. Keep in mind, this is an official event, so it's not supposed to be political. He spent the entire time blasting Trump and Republicans by name, so completely out of line. He's rambling. He's incoherent. It's standard Joe Biden. He is doing his speech from the teleprompter, and here he is. Here's Joe Biden live.
To bring the hostages home, to create a path for peace and stability in the Middle East. 6 weeks ago, I laid out a detailed plan in writing. It was endorsed by the UN Security Council, the G7. That framework is now agreed on by both Israel and Hamas. So I sent my team to the region to hammer out the details. These are difficult, complex issues. There's still gaps to close, but we're making progress. The trend is positive. And I'm determined to get this deal done and bring an end to this war, which should end now. Let me conclude where I began. We're the United States of America. We are the indispensable nation. Our leadership matters. Our partnerships matter. This moment matters. We must rise to meet it. With that, I'll take your questions. I've been given a list of people to call on here. Reuters, Jeff Mason.
Of course he was. No, go back to the press conference. It's
Mr. President, your political future has hung over the NATO summit a little bit this week. Speaker Pelosi made a point of suggesting that your decision on whether to stay in the race was still open. George Clooney and a handful of lawmakers have called on you to step aside. Reuters is reporting tonight that UAW leadership is concerned about your ability to win.
UAW just endorsed me, but go ahead.
Thank you. My question for you is, how are you incorporating these developments into your decision to stay? And separately, what concerns do you have about Vice President Harris's ability to beat Donald Trump if she were at the top of the ticket?
Look, I wouldn't have picked Vice President Trump to be vice president, but I think she was not qualified to be president. So let's start there. Number one, the fact is that the consideration is that I think I'm the most qualified person to run for president. I beat him once, and I will beat him again. Secondly, the idea, I served in the Senate a long time. The idea that senators and congressmen running for office worry about the ticket is not unusual. And I might add, there were at least five presidents running or incumbent presidents who had lower numbers than I have now, later in the campaign. So there's a long way to go in this campaign. And so I'm just going to keep moving. And because, look, I got more work to do. We got more work to finish. There's so much. We made so much progress. Think about it. Think about where we are economically relative to the rest of the world. Name me a world leader who wouldn't want to trade places with our economy. We've created over 800,000 manufacturing jobs, 1.5 million jobs. I mean, so things are moving. We got more to go. Working class people still have need help. Corporate greed is still at large. Their prices, the corporate profits have doubled since the pandemic. They're coming down. And so I'm optimistic about where things are going. Danny Kemp, AFP.
Thanks. Thank you, Mr. President. I wanted to ask you about your, you mixed up Presidents Zelensky and Putin earlier today. and you now have sort of your key allies, including the British Prime Minister, the President of France, and the German Chancellor having to step in and make excuses for you on that. And officials here are saying off the record that your decline has become noticeable. Hasn't this now, frankly, become damaging for America's standing in the world?
Did you see any damage to our standing in my leading this conference? Have you seen a more successful conference? What do you think? And the Putin piece, I was talking about Putin, and I said, and now, at the very end, I said, here, I mean, Putin, I said, no, I'm sorry, Zelensky. And then I added five other names. Look, guys, the idea, anybody suggests that we haven't had an incredibly successful conference. How many times did you hear in that conference, I know it sounds too self-serving, but other leaders, heads of state, in thanking me, saying the reason we're together is because of Biden, because Biden did the following. Look, folks, this is a... Well, anyway, I thought it was the most successful conference I've attended in a long time, and find me a world leader who didn't think it was. Next one. Nancy Cordes. CBS.
He's reading these.
Thank you,
names,
Mr. President. You mentioned other instances in history where presidents have faced a challenge, but what makes this moment in history so unique is that it is not your enemies who are calling on you to reconsider your decision to stay in the race. It's your friends, supporters, people who think you've done a great job over the past 4 years. Have you spent time thinking about what it would mean for your legacy, which you've worked decades to build, if you stay in the race, despite the concerns that voters say they have, and you lose to someone who you yourself have argued is unfit to return to the Oval Office?
Well, look, I'm not in this for my legacy. I'm in this to complete the job I started. As you recall, understandably, many of you and many economists thought my initial initiatives that I put forward can't do that. It's going to cause inflation. Things are going to skyrocket. The debt's going to go up. What are you hearing now from mainstream economists? 16 economic Nobel laureates said I've done a hell of a job. That under my plans, the so far and what's going to happen in the future if I'm reelected, that things are going to get much better. Our economy is growing. I was determined when I got elected to stop the trickle-down economic theory, that if the wealthy did very well, everybody else would do well. My dad was a well-read, decent guy. I don't remember much trickling down on his kitchen table. Middle-class people and working-class people need help. And so what happened is I decided to implement, was able to implement as president, what I believed when I was a senator. And that is that the way to build this economy is from the middle out and the bottom up. That way we grow the economy. And the wealthy still do very well. They do fine. And guess what? Find me an economist, a mainstream economist, who said we haven't done well. What have we not done that isn't working right now? And so we got more to do, though. We got to finish the job. And by the way, I come from the corporate state of the world. Delaware has more corporations registered in Delaware than every other state in the nation combined. I'm not anti-corporate, but corporate profits have doubled since the pandemic, doubled. It's time things get back in order a little bit. It's time, for example, if I'm reelected, we're going to make sure that rents are kept at 5% increase of corporate rents for apartments and the like and homes are limited to 5%. We're going to make a lot of changes that I've been talking about because we're going to continue to grow this economy. And by the way, I know, remember how I got so roundly criticized for being so pro-union, not labor, union. Well, guess what? I've been the most pro-union labor president in history. Not a joke. And guess what? We had the Treasury Department do a study. When unions do better, everybody does better. Everybody does better. And we talk about how, for example, when I went, remember when we talked about getting the computer chip industry back in the United States? Used to be 40% of the industry. We invented the chip. 40% of the industry was in the United States. And former presidents decided that the best way to do it is find the cheapest labor in the world, send the product over there and import what the product was. And so what did I do? I was told not to go over to Europe, I mean to Asia, including Europe, but Asia. And I remember going to South Korea, convincing them to invest $20 billion in the United States to build computer chip factories. And I asked why when they finally decided to do it. And the answer was because you have the safest economy in the world, and you have the best workers in the world. So the whole idea here is we've invested, there's over $50 billion in investment in computer chip manufacturing just coming into being. None of you thought that would happen. None of you thought that would happen. But it's happening. It's happening. And it's going to grow economies all through. And by the way, red states and blue states. Matter of fact, there's as much in red states as in blue states. I've made no distinction. So my generic point is that the idea that we can't continue to build and grow the economy, make it fairer. And like I said, from my standpoint, when the middle class does well, that's when the whole economy grows. The poor have a shot, the wealthy do well. But the wealthy got to start paying
taxes. Let me cut in for a second here really quickly. I just want to explain what you probably already can hear. What you're hearing right now is Joe Biden filibustering. He's answered two questions. He's giving long speeches that have little to do with the question, so he doesn't have to answer very many questions. That's what you're hearing. Anyway, go back to it.
if necessary.
First of all, the way she's handled the issue of freedom of women's bodies to have control over their bodies. Secondly, her ability to handle almost any issue on the board. This was a hell of a prosecutor. She was a first-rate person, and in the Senate, she was really good. I wouldn't have picked her unless I thought she was qualified to be president. From the very beginning, I made no bones about that. She is qualified to be president. That's why I picked her. Felicia Swartz, Financial Times.
Thank you, Mr. President. Presidency is the most straining job in the world, and it's 24/7. How can you say you'll be up for that next year, in 2 years, in 4 years, given the limits you've acknowledged that you have today?
The limits I've acknowledged I have?
There's been reporting that you've acknowledged that you need to go to bed earlier and your evening around 8.
That's not true. Look, what I said was, instead of my every day starting at 7 and going to bed at midnight, it'd be smarter for me to pace myself a little more. And I said, for example, the 8, 7, 6 stuff, instead of starting a fundraiser at 9 o'clock, start at 8 o'clock. People get to go home by 10 o'clock. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, and if you looked at my schedule since I made that stupid mistake of in the campaign, in the debate, I mean, my schedule has been full bore. I've done, where's Trump been? Riding around in his golf cart, filling out his scorecard before he hits the ball? I mean, look, he's done virtually nothing. And I have, I don't know how many, don't hold me to it, roughly 20 major events. Someone with thousands of people showing up. And so I just think it's better. I always have an inclination, whether I was playing sports or doing politics, just to keep going, not stop. I just gotta just pace myself a little more. Pace myself. And the next debate, I'm not gonna be traveling into 15 time zones a week before. Anyway, that's what it was about. That's what it was about. And by the way, even with that, I love my staff. But they add things all the time, at the very end. I'm catching hell from my wife for that. Anyway.
What?
I'm sorry. Zeke Miller, Associated Press.
Thank you, Mr. President. Two questions for you. First, on the NATO summit, President Zelensky, in your meeting with him, he pressed you to lift your limitations on the Ukrainian use of American weapons, saying that, in his public remarks afterwards, saying that Ukraine cannot win the war unless those limitations are lifted. Are you reconsidering your position on that? And then secondly, following up on Felicia's question there, leaders of your own party have said that they're not worried about that debate. They're worried about the next bad night and the bad night after that. How can you reassure the American people that you are up to the task and that there won't be more bad nights at a debate stage or somewhere else?
First thing about Zelensky asking for the ability to strike deep into Russia. We've allowed Zelensky to use American weapons in the near term and the nearer abroad into Russia. Whether or not he should be attacked. For example, should Zelensky, he's not, if he had the capacity to strike Moscow, strike the Kremlin, would that make sense? It wouldn't. The question is, what's the best use of the weaponry he has and the weaponry we're getting to him? I've gotten a more long range capacity as well as defensive capacity. And so our military is where I'm following the advice of my commander-in-chief.
Well, I think it's safe to say, don't worry, we're going to come back to this press conference in just a moment. I think it's safe to say this press conference is not going to calm any fears about the president's youthful vigor for office. I need to remind you of something before we take a quick break here. That pledge, the IFCJ pledge, have you signed it yet? Remember, International Coalition of Christians and Jews. The truth is, most people over there, they think we don't give a crap. They think American Christians really don't care about it. Why? Because they consume American media. And you know what the media says. It's not asking for anything but a signature. It's just signing a pledge. Go to supportifcj.org. Supportifcj.org. Sign the pledge. They're going to give it to Netanyahu. It'll be a big old thing. All right? All right. Quick break. We'll be back to more of this.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, back to one of the more painful press conferences I've ever heard in my entire life. Here he is.
In Turkey and other places to agree to the expansion. But it expanded. And we're a hell of a lot stronger because of it. We're more secure because of it. And by the way, I was able to get 50 other nations, 50 to support Ukraine. 50. We were able to bring about a coalition between of Europe and Asia, Japan and South Korea. I just met with, we talked about AUKUS, and we talked about the relationship between Australia, New Zealand, Japan, South Korea, the United States. We're making the world safer and stronger because we have to deal with the new arrangement that exists in the world. The Cold War is over. The post-war era is over. What is going to replace it? And I respectfully suggest I have a pretty good idea what that should be. I've convinced a lot of people to follow it, and we're just going to get stronger. David Sanger. Where's it?
Thank you, Mr. President.
Be nice, David.
Mr. President, the NATO declaration that was issued yesterday was very notable because it described China as a decisive enabler of the war in Ukraine.
You know, as you watched this press conference, I don't know if it's occurred to you, but as I'm sitting here watching the awkward pausing, the mumbling, the coughing, you start to think about age and the things that happen with age, things like pain, daily pain. Knee hurts all the time. Back hurts all the time. Elbow hurts all the time. I wonder if Joe Biden has heard about Relief Factor. You know that Relief Factor is drug-free? Drug-free. You take it every day. It's a daily supplement. What it does is it helps support your body's natural response to inflammation. Your body's trying to fight off that nagging pain in your hamstring. It needs support. That's what Relief Factor is. You don't have to take my word for it. Take it for 3 weeks. Take it every day for 3 weeks. At the end of that 3 weeks, you tell me how your pain feels. This stuff is miraculous. There's a reason. I think it's 70% plus. People call, order more. I need more. I need more. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF. 1-800-4-RELIEF or relieffactor.com. We will be back with more Joe if he's still talking. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.